You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Brand Now, How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. Many former On Brand guests are already raving about Brand Now. Jay Baer calls it the quintessential guide to modern branding. Stacey Grissom of BarkBox says Brand Now provides practical tools and a helpful framework for building a brand both online and off. Learn more, get special extras and additional resources at brandnowbook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Matthew Leone. Matthew brings a fresh marketing perspective and extensive knowledge of web technologies and techniques to Halstead, serving as the firm's chief marketing officer. Matthew oversees the 28-member MarTech division and is responsible for the creative brand direction. He is passionate about staying on top of the latest trends and integrating innovative solutions into all forms of marketing and technology, working as one of the first firms to embrace such forms as video, social media, drones, 3D, VR, wearables, co-branded partnerships, and other groundbreaking approaches. Mr. Leone also regularly appears as a panelist and speaker at Inman Connect, as well as NAR conferences, leading real estate companies of the world conferences, NYSAR conventions, and luxury portfolio summits, speaking on concepts that will shape the future of the real estate industry. He also serves and teaches as the Real Estate Board of New York's continued education course series. He currently serves on the Technology Advisory Council for leading real estate companies of the world, regularly advising the global network on a variety of technology initiatives, as well as the Inman News Content Advisory Board. In 2018, Matthew was the recipient of Leading Real Estate Companies of the World's prestigious President's Award, which formally acknowledged his significant contributions and service to the organization. He has been routinely interviewed and quoted in media outlets such as The Today Show, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Adweek, CNBC, NY1, NY Magazine, Real Deal, and many more. Matthew, welcome to On Brand.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here, Nick.
Well, it is great to have you here. Now, just backing up to your current role, for those outside of the greater New York area, can you tell us a bit about what Halstead does?
Okay, so Halstead is a residential real estate brokerage based in New York City, the Hamptons, Fairfield County, Connecticut, Hudson Valley, and the Gold Coast of New Jersey. And we do, resale, we do rental sales, representation of homes. We do new development, we do property management. For the most part, our job in essence is to represent clients and in the sales, purchase, rents of their homes. And the little spin that we have is that we just like to approach business differently in a more, technologically savvy approach, and as well as, telling stories, being advocates for the community, neighborhoods, as well as the selling of homes. So it's trying to infuse both of those because we know that every 7-8 years someone's in the market for a home and they sort of go away from a real estate brokerage during that hiatus. So we like to stay in touch with them as much as possible by being those storytellers and giving them that value content so that they stay in touch with us and top of mind for you know, the hopes of being their representation once that time comes.
Man, that's really interesting. You know, we were talking a bit before we hit record here, and I was just sharing that I love when we can do an episode that's a deep dive on a particular type of industry. I joked about having Dean Noble from the Santa Barbara Zoo on a few weeks ago, but I think this is fascinating because, honestly, I think that's a tricky challenge. I mean, after a car, a house is the biggest. Or no, I mean, I don't know why I said that. Cars are, of course, much smaller than houses, but those are these very big purchases, these very big relationships. And I kind of feel like, hopefully my realtor isn't listening, but maybe he is. But I feel like I'm you kind of get in that queue, and they don't really know how else to treat you, so you're just kind of in this odd holding pattern. And as a marketer, I understand the inclination to want to keep that relationship alive, but that's a tricky challenge when you're really not. I mean, you kind of do move into a different holding pattern once your housing needs have been met for the near term. But how do you tackle that?
Well, I find that the brand and the agents that we train underneath this brand has to be ambassadors of the neighborhoods that they represent. You know, so if you just sold someone a property that they just moved into on the Upper East Side, they are going to be there, you know, let's say on average 7-8 years, and they're going to be one with that community. And what our job is to really stay in touch with them with information about the neighborhood, about the value of that home, the events that are going on in that community, the new fresh openings of maybe restaurants or shopping spots, maybe did you know type facts, history type facts, like that type of information is the best marketing tool that you can have for those individuals. Because, you know, honestly, you know, they really don't want anything to do with the services that we have until they are looking for, moving or looking for an investment. So we in essence have to provide them something that they deem a value. And us as a brand, we try and be value centric as possible in terms of anything that's on our website or in our social media content or the email marketing content that we give to our agents to white label and send out. Like every piece of information, we have to ask ourselves whether or not someone who's not in the market for a home would find that in any way, shape, or form valuable. And then ask us that second question of whether or not that is connected in any way, shape, or form to our services. So I always felt that anything that is connected to the communities that we serve is connected to our services, because we sell the communities as much as the homes in them. So that's really the to me what I try and push to the agents and to our social and content staff that I have internally to concentrate on, because honestly, real estate is more than just the home, and we have to treat that as such.
That's such a big insight. I think there's most big brand questions are really about getting past the business that is on your that's on everybody's organizing documents and tax forms, real estate, and kind of getting at the actual need. And I think what you're talking about here is really selling the community, that is really the kind of long-term business and brand building play there. Back to your point of being ambassadors as well.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt that when you live and own in an area, you have great pride in that area. You want to see it better as much and continue to grow, because not only is it because it's your surroundings, but it's your investment. So we want to talk up, we want to polish and promote everything to do with that, because in essence that is their investment, and they will appreciate the fact that we put the effort towards that, because that effort is helping put a spotlight on their quasi investment, and at the same time you're providing them with useful, valuable content, so it's a win-win there, and it gets away from the, like what I always say is that you want to make sure that the consumer does not smell your commission breath.
You gotta pause for the laughter there.
Yeah, well, you can't, because like at the end of the day, the feeling has to always be that you are providing this service, and it's not about the commission. It's not about that. It's about you love what you do, and you love to find people homes and get them to where they want to be, and move them to what moves them, and which is our new tagline for in essence. We want to be that connection, and we want them to forget about the fact that this is a transaction that leads to a commission, because it's so much more than that. It's more than that, because we want to do everything that they need, so that they refer us, so that they come back to us. It's all about the relationship that you form, and good agents, you know, the ones that last are the ones that really, you know, hone that and understand that. And I think that, you know, once you figure that out, you have a career in this.
And, you know, I think that works on so many levels, because the referral, I would think, I mean, I would say probably at any level in the real estate business, but it, even more so, I would say in the higher end, like you're talking about as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, when it involves high end, you know, listings that, you know, our average price, sales price is hovering around $2 million in New York City, you know, that they expect more. They expect white glove service. They demand it. Mm-hmm. And you have to provide that. So if you're selling their home, you have to provide them with services that go above and beyond. You have to provide them with architectural photography. You have to provide them with, you know, 3D walkthroughs where everyone can walk every inch of the home in the comfort of their own home. You have to provide them with video tours that are done by filmmakers and not videographers. You know, like we're honing with our skills of video tours now, where we're partnering with Broadway and off-Broadway performers and having them dance through homes, violinists and cellists that are doing live performances inside of homes. And then we're doing video tours, of the home throughout. So it's like you're entertaining them at the same time of you learning about the home. Like this is the type of demand that they expect, the white glove treatment that they expect from real estate agents that are representative of homes that are a high-end price point. And we have to be more Madison Avenue than Main Street, you know, in that approach, because they expect to be wowed. They do not expect the norm. They expect to be given something they've never have seen before, or be shown something that is unique and special. And that's our job, to always reinvent and create something that is different and separative to other real estate firms in the industry that are very competitive, and other markets that are just not at our price point. We have to be different. We are not the average Joe. We are property price points that are, you know, incredibly high, and your service has to go high with that.
So it's all about the overall framing and positioning, as you said earlier, but also really providing an unparalleled customer experience.
Yes. I mean, you know, the customer experience is paramount. Like they have over 300 brokerages in New York City to choose from. And then on top of that, they have 16,000 real estate agents that are you know, licensed in New York City to choose from. So you have many, many options available to you. Everyone knows a real estate agent in New York City, more than one.
Right.
So it's like, you know, so you have to separate yourself, and the top brokerages like we are have to provide the services to every one of them. We have 1,400 of our agents. We have to provide to them either a roadmap or a tool belt of everything that they need to separate themselves from not only the competition out there, but the agents inside of the firm that they are, might even be competing with over that listing as well. So, you know, that's the fight that we have, that we have so much competition for this inventory and this business that we have to constantly evolve.
This conversation reminds me, obviously because of the category, but one of the more unique challenges, I believe it was a couple of years ago, had the chief marketing officer of Coldwell Banker on, and what they talked about with their brand that was an interesting challenge that I hadn't thought of, as the overall real estate company, the entity, all of the brokers who are really the frontline representatives of the brand, ultimately at the end of the day are independent. So it's sort of makes that challenge a little different as opposed to someone that is an employee. Here's the company line to toe. Is that a challenge that, especially with these huge expectations, how do you tackle that challenge?
Well, I think the challenge is a little bit tougher for a national brand like a Coldwell Banker. I mean, that's a tough go, because mm-hmm. you have franchises, you have independent brokers, you have different regions. It's a very tough battle to fight. But I mean, we're a regional company. We have 35, soon to be 36 offices, 1,400 agents that are all within a region that is manageable for us. You know, what we do is, if you provide a suite of technology that provides agents with the feeling of customization, but within parameters of control for the brand, you could win both sides. Because again, you know, an independent contractor is going to want to do sort of their own thing, but you're going to have to police that somewhat. And when it comes to branding, that's so important, that, you know, if everyone does their own thing, it is very detrimental to your brand. And especially going through a rebrand now, you want to be as consistent as possible, but at the same time, you want to give the agent the feeling of some bit of uniqueness and separation between the rest of the agent base. So that's where it comes into, you know, custom conversations about agent branding that would go under the umbrella of, you know, the overall overarching company brand. That's where you have conversations of, with our copywriters, with our agents on, you know, unique, verbal tones that they have representing themselves. That's where we have lifestyle photography that are photographing agents in their communities and in things that they love doing, that create some personality around them. Like, these types of assets could be used, controlled by the overarching brand, but giving them a feeling of, you know, uniqueness, because they have their own logo, because they have their own verbal tones, because they have their own unique lifestyle photography. Those pieces will allow them to have a feeling of separation but not losing the overarching brand.
That's really interesting, and I don't know on all kinds of fronts, because I don't know if we've talked with anybody else. We've talked about the role that personal brands play, but especially agents are personal brands, and I think sometimes that runs into conflict. But what you're talking about, I can't think of anybody that's been on before where they've talked about providing those personal branding resources. I mean, so often people internally are building the company brand and are really forcing that with an iron fist and not really wanting to entertain conversations about what an individual's logo might look like. I love the idea of copywriters helping with verbal tone and the lifestyle photography. You really don't often, I don't think, hear of interplay like that between the larger corporate brand and the individual personal brands as well. I think that's fascinating. It's a big hairy problem, and not one that people, beyond saying it's a big hairy problem, are really keen to do much about. But I think when you do that, you can see some pretty powerful results, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we are in an industry of independent contractors that are their own business within a business. So for us to ignore that and just say, you know, the brand's the brand and you got to live within that, it is going to put you at a disadvantage. However, if you then say you're allowed to do it and then sort of outsource that, what you're in essence doing is you're losing the reins of your brand. So what we want to do is we want to invest in, you know, a 28 member, you know, creative, you know, in-house agency of sorts that works for agents. So, you know, they have an ability of sitting with a copywriter. They have the ability of sitting with an art director and going over agent branding. They have the ability of going out with one of our photographers and having a shoot and at their favorite restaurant or the dog park that they always take their pet, or, you know, the bike path that they always like going down, or that place that has the best sunset in their neighborhood or the pier. Like, every one of those things is available to them and accessible to them because we have an in-house agency that works for them. And that's what's so important, in my opinion, is that, you know, real estate firms have to invest in hand-holding. Like, because in today's day and age, in the big metropolis markets of, let's say, the top 20 cities that have the highest price points, those brokerages will survive. The ones that are traditional brokerages that are not providing a suite of technology to make it ease of business, not providing the hand holding of creative design and individual brand building, it's going to be nearly impossible to compete against that, because the agents demand more in today's day and age, especially in big cities. They demand to have, you know, this polish to them. I think what really changed this a lot, in my opinion, is that, you know, there's a sensationalism of real estate now with the popularity of, like, the Bravo TV shows and those types of approaches. That has changed it to real estate brokerage has not been like, well, I failed at two or three industries and I just chose real estate. People are coming out of college and people are saying, I want a career in real estate. I think this is a sexy industry. This is an industry that is very attractive to people. They could see that, you know, they put time in and they could get a healthy career out of. And you need to give more to those people now. There's a lot more people saying, I want to become a real estate agent. I want to become a full-time agent. And they're demanding of so much more.
That is, I love so much of what you just said there, and I think that there's a lot that that definitely many in real estate need to listen to, but I'd say the interplay between larger global brands and individual personal brands representing those brands exists in other industries more than it that you know, or we could do with some better handholding, to your point. So you just underwent a rebrand, and before we go, I want to just chat about kind of the the exit interview of a rebrand. How'd that go, and what would you do differently? I think that's, speaking of big challenges, we're only talking about the big stuff on today's show. That's something, a rebrand can be so big that some people stare it down and just decide to walk the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think we went through a rebrand back in, as a company, back in 2006. We've had the same look and feel for about, you know, 10, 11 years, and it was time for a change. And we were a different company back then. We were just, you know, we were, what, 400 agents. We're now 1,400. We were only in New York City and maybe one or two offices outside of it. We needed to create something that was definitive of waterfront markets and suburban markets as well as the urban. So we went and we said, all right, we need to create something that works for everyone. So we said, all right, we did internal research, found out what our core competencies were, our greatest strengths, our weaknesses that we had to work on. We found out that our greatest strength was our culture. Something that people, we have a high retention rate. You know, agents stay here. Agents love working here. They have a connection to how we do business. Outside competitors usually always say they don't have many problems working with Halstead agents. So that culture that we built, how we do business, was separating us from everyone else. So we had to create a separation in our verbal identity from that. And then we had to create some difference in the visual identity based on having some separation in those three big markets that we serve. So what we went out and we said, all right, let's go and let's figure out a verbal identity that speaks to our culture. And we came up with a tagline of "Move to What Moves You," which is, you know, in essence, what we do. Like, we are finding in a stress-free way that home for someone that not only is just fits them but moves them. They have to be emotionally attached to that. So how we market properties that makes people emotionally attached to them, and how the way we go about business and helping people purchase homes, that handholding, that's something that is Move to What Moves You. Our brand philosophy was that we are agents of change. The fact that we not only are helping people change their lives by finding them a new home, we are also helping our agents become ambassadors for their community, being agents of change inside of their community, giving back with our Halstead Helping Hands initiatives that we have, which is our philanthropic arm to our company. Agents of change is such an important piece to our brand philosophy. But then when we get into visual, the visual was that we needed to create color palettes for all three of our core markets. So it's a color palette of sophistication, urban sophistication for Manhattan, but then a color palette of, you know, vibrant colors, oranges and pinks and reds for our outer boroughs, which are always changing and evolving, you know, in the Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx areas. Then lastly, we have the suburban and waterfront communities, which need something cool and subtle, but still yet vibrant as well. So we created color palettes for each one of those, but then the overarching brand has the grays and the blacks that bring it all together. So in essence, what we did is we created something that really defined our regional areas, but then brought us back home and then defined our culture and our verbal identity. Lastly, we wanted to make sure that our icon was something that we could get behind and believe in. So we created a three-dimensional icon that references the look of an H, but is strong. It also looks like an arrow moving forward because we're progressive in our approaches with technology and storytelling. And at the end of the day, you know, we're really talking about sort of the Monday morning quarterbacking of the rebranding. What I loved about it was that agents felt like they could own it in their communities. There was an individuality to it, but then there was a progressiveness to it. You need to feel like you not only are appealing towards your current client population, but the millennial population that are going to rent their first home, buy their first home. You need to appeal to them as well. I think we accomplished that. And you know, that's really what I think was so great about it. But I, you know, overall, I think that, you know, what we could have done a little different is, you know, we did not realize how much had to happen post rebrand, you know, how many things had to change that was out there for a span of 10 years, since our previous rebrand. There was so much that had to go out up to the rebrand date. Beyond that, once we hit that post rebrand date, the things that had to be done after that just doubled our workload and just sort of killed us. But you know, we're through that now, and we're on to better and bigger and better. But if I had to go back, I probably would have prepared a little bit better for the windfall of things that would have come right afterward.
A lot of touch points, but I love the story of all of the considerations and all of the thought. When you get into branding at all of these different levels, I think we can get stuck on consistency versus coherence, which is unity of a lot of the themes and elements, but still that they can be adjusted for different areas, different neighborhoods, and different agents as well. So I think that is you've done a commendable job with a pretty big challenge. Matthew, as we start to wrap up here, it is time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to probably err on the side of sort of positivity on this, on smiling, not smiling for a negative purpose. But I love when you see branding or advertising that is taking a different spin on things. And I'm just sort of going back to maybe around the Super Bowl, where, you know, you see all these great commercials. I always feel like I have a great appreciation for whatever comes out that was unique and different. I thought that there was an ad, I believe, that was done by Doritos and Mountain Dew, where they combined, like, I very rarely see two brands just combined a commercial into one. But they did it in a way that was unique and different, with, I believe it was like the Game of Thrones star. And I think it was Morgan Freeman, who's you know, obviously had seen better days the last couple of weeks. But, you know, before that, you know, he was in this commercial where, like, it got so much attention because, you know, you have the celebrity cameos. You have the, you know, they were lip syncing, which was crazy. But they were combining two brands. That are not, I believe, under the same ownership umbrella. They did it because they felt like, you know what, these two brands go together. You know, like a high school kid or a college kid, they probably have one in one hand, one in the other, and it makes a lot of sense. And let's do it in a unique way by throwing two combating, I think, you know, lip syncing, fighting, you know, at one another. So in terms of my thinking is that I love co-branding. We have a partnership with the New York Yankees. We have a partnership with Audi. We have a partnership with Indochino. We have a partnership where we're building with Equinox, and doing things in a public-facing fashion that are collaborative, because at the end of the day, their consumer is my consumer. And if we could figure out unique ways of combining because there's synergy, I'm all for it. And I love the fact that, granted, it was at maybe a lower end. I appreciated the fact that Doritos and Mountain Dew went at it and did it in a way that was humorous, because I always love that to laugh in advertising and marketing. I think that at all high end, low end, whatever, I think there's always a place for that because it's memorable and it's entertaining. And I think you have to do both of those things to be successful in branding.
Amen. Great, great insights and a great brand that's made you smile. Matthew, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, they could always follow us on social, you know, follow Halsted on Instagram at Halsted or Twitter at Halsted. If you ever want to connect with me, you could connect with me on Twitter at Matthew J. Leone. I'm always available for a conversation on there. And, you know, always visit us at Halsted.com to see what our latest, greatest content push is. And, you know, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Matthew, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick.
And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. OnBrand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links we discussed on this episode at BrandDrivenDigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.